Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I get to welcome author and coach copywriter Allison Lex to the show. Allison says that creating better copy means that more of your prospects will become your customers, which obviously we already know. We're always buying something that we bought because the copy was so spectacular, and that leads to a bigger business and more dollars in your pocket. With 13 years of experience, beginning with her time as the director of marketing for Glacier Kennedy's Insider Circle, to her successful copy practice now, Allison lives and breathes this stuff. She's got the experience, nearly 13 years of it, to back it up, and she's written for clients all over the world, changing their incomes one sales page at a time. Now, Allison is here to share five steps that we all need, and these are the steps that you need for good copy for good sales. One is how to identify who your message is for and get their attention. Then you identify the problem. Then you show them the way out. Then you tell them how to get it. And finally, you don't let them walk away without the solution that they came to you for. Allison, welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. It's good to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I love how you summed up the five steps. I think we can just call it a show. Right?
Oh, well, in that case, let's talk about curly hair again.
Yeah, curly hair and cash, right?
For those of you who don't know us, we both have curly hair, and that can either be a blessing or a curse or both all in the same day. So we were kind of commiserating with each other in the green room. Right now, it's a blessing because it's cool, it's crisp, my feet are cold, I've got the windows open, and my hair is not bing, bing, binging all over my head. It's a good
not
day.
Not puffy today.
Do you ever have days where you can hear it go doing, doing, doing?
Oh, all the time. It's summer. Summer's coming.
Summer. Humidity. That's right. So listen, tell people a bit about yourself. And Glacier Kennedy, that's a biggie. That's a big, big thing. So let's talk. Let's start there because that's really where you kind of gained all of your knowledge that you share now.
Yeah. So I started at Glacier Kennedy as an admin assistant. I like to say one of my dirty little secrets is I didn't know who Dan Kennedy was before I started working for him. Obviously, I know very much about him now. And I was kind of fell into the business, if you will. I was just looking for what I call a big girl job with health insurance and paid time off. And opened up my eyes to this whole world of marketing that I didn't know existed. And I was pretty instantly hooked. And so I started writing some sales copy, and Bill Glazer was instrumental in helping me get better at it over time. And since then, I've continued my education. I'm definitely a knowledge junkie, which I think you have to be as a copywriter. And I love it. I still have such a love affair with copy. So yeah,
and you know,
I'm a crazy cat lady. I have to always mention my cats.
This is why we get along so well. Curly hair cats. What more do you need?
That's right.
But the thing is, I love to read good copy. I mean, I search it out. I love to read it. I'm always fascinated by the sentence structure, by how it's created, but I don't do it. I don't know if I'm afraid of doing it. I can write. I love to write, but writing copy is a whole different thing. And I think a lot of people who are starting their websites or they're starting their sales pages, I'm a web developer. I work with a lot of people. Oh, I need you to write this copy for my sales page. No. Hire a professional. I can do wonderful things with a website. I am not a copywriter, and I'm smart enough to know that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a bit about why, if people are really serious about getting their voice heard, getting whatever it is that they're selling, whether it's their podcast program, whether, you know, it's a widget that they need to sell, whatever it is, why is hiring or finding a really good, competent person who is in love with copywriting and can deliver what you need, because seriously, I'm not it. And I'm smart enough to know I'm not it. Breaks my heart. I have to admit it, but there it is.
Well, I think that, you know, first, a lot of people are afraid of copy because it does feel like the end-all be-all of whether their marketing is going to be successful. And, you know, as a copywriter, my ego wants to say, yeah, that's totally it. But it's not, right? The website has to, the design has to be there, and the responsiveness and the tech and the, you know, all these things. And then the market has to be right, and the product has to be good, and the offer has to, like, there are so many pieces to whether something's going to work. The copy is a big piece of it, of course. It's not the only piece. So don't put 100% of the pressure on the copy. But I think, too, is, you know, we have this idea that copy has to be this unattainable level of perfection. And I'm sure I have professional copywriters who are going to hate me for saying that you don't have to be a professional copywriter to write perfectly decent copy that works for your own business. You know, I love it when people say, hey, I need to hire you for my launch or to help me figure out my positioning or this, that, and the other, but I'm going to take care of my weekly emails or whatever on my own. That's great, and I think that people should be able to create an email to their list that's going to get them to take action. So you don't have to spend the time or the money to invest in a pro copywriter for every single little thing that you need. It's not necessarily attainable for a lot of businesses. Some have a copywriter in-house, and that's awesome, you know, and I help the people in between. So, you know, hiring a professional, I think, is really important when you're trying to figure out your messaging, when you've tried to do stuff and it hasn't worked, when you know you're the bottleneck that's keeping the marketing from getting out. I have so many clients that are like, you know what, I tried to write this on my own, and it's just not getting done, and now I just don't have the time. That is like the perfect time to hire a copywriter. You know, but when you're in it, when you're in your business and you're so close to it, you don't see the things that people on the outside can see. I can come in without the emotional connection to what has already been created, and I can bring my knowledge of the industry and the market and your potential customer and all of that, and I know the research to do. I know how to find the information I need, and so I can come in and make it better in a way that you can't simply because I'm not as close to it as you are, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. I see this all of the time in web development. And, mm-hmm. you know, my agency does a lot of work. Web development is just a small portion of it, you mm-hmm. know, but because we're there to help you get your word out no matter how we get it done. It could be radio,
right.
It could be podcasts, it could be books, it can be anything. But I have almost always, not 100% of the time, but it is a regular occurrence for me to talk with somebody, because I always do a consultation with somebody who needs a website, needs social media. I need to know what it is that they need, and are we a good fit? Can I understand
right.
them? Can I actually be of assistance to them?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I find, Allison? Most of the time, almost every time, they have no idea what it is that they really need or what it is that do or what it is that who it is they're trying to reach. You've heard
mm-hmm.
this. Who's your audience? Everybody, no.
Uh-huh.
No,
yep.
No, no. It's not everybody. So, yeah,
right.
I completely understand that.
Yeah, and, you know, it's sometimes, a lot of times, my relationships with my clients do take on a coaching aspect. I don't promote myself as a coach. I don't offer coaching programs or anything like that, but I do coach my clients. We brainstorm together, and we figure things out, and last night I was on with a client and we were kind of hammering out an offer just before I could even write. Like, we've got to get the offer down right, because what are they going to want? What are some holes in this? What can I do to make this feel more valuable? All of those questions I get all the time. And so having an outside party that can bring that level of coaching and consulting and expertise and knowledge and all of those fun words to your business, I think, is invaluable. And if they also know how it's going to come from a marketing standpoint, that's the job of a copywriter. And so that's what you get when you hire a pro.
Agree. And I could not have said it better. So, and I do the same. You know, when I'm consulting mm-hmm. with somebody, it
yeah.
often turns into me coaching. And mm-hmm. at the end of it, I'll say, did I boss you around too much? No, 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 I was taking notes. Oh, good. I'm a little bossy.
I'm like, okay, here's what you're going to do. I say I'm
right.
really good at creating work for people because I just tell them what to do.
Yeah, same thing. I'm telling you, we need to work together. Okay, so before we get too busy, you know, patting each other on the back, let's hit our five steps because
yeah.
honestly, I want to understand how you work so that I can then say, okay, I'm not the best for this, but Allison is. Let me introduce you to her, or let me introduce you to somebody who can
right.
do what you need. But I need to honestly know the questions that I need to ask people so I can identify, okay, I think I know who to refer you to. I know who's
right.
going to be a really good fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start on those things because honestly, no company, no firm, no you know solopreneur needs to hog it all, right?
Right.
We need
oh, totally.
To find, and that's something some people are still learning, but we need to find the best resources that we can find and have them in our little mental Rolodex, like, oh, you need to talk to this person. Okay, I've got these two or three people. Pick one, and then I'll work with them. I'm working with somebody right now who is an excellent, excellent one-sheet person. I mean, she does
mm-hmm.
the best one-sheets. They're so good that I will often take her work and create the website to look just like them. They're that good.
That's awesome.
I know, and I recommend her every
mm-hmm.
which way to Sunday. So, you know, this
right.
is who I'm always looking for. So let's
yeah.
talk about the five steps to good sales and good stewardship of your clients. Because it's
Absolutely.
Kind of the same thing, isn't it?
It is. So, you know, it's I will say up front to everybody, I'm not the right writer for everyone. And I think that going into any sales copy, knowing that you're not going to be the right fit for everyone is super important. And, you know, as you mentioned earlier, step one to good sales copy is identifying who your message is for and getting their attention. But if we focus just on the first part of that, identify who your message is for. That really means that you need to know who the best fit for you is. And you've got to have that ideal client profile, that avatar, that whatever you call it, you've got to have that nailed down. And I don't mean everybody, right? I don't mean everybody who lives in the United
States.
Not
everybody.
All women
nope.
over 20, or it's definitely not. And I think that the struggle that people have when it comes to niching down is twofold. One, they think that they have to go just based on demographic information, right? Age, gender, race, location, income, all of that stuff. They don't, right? You can find commonalities in psychological or psychographic information, which is, you know, the problems that you solve for them, right? The things they're stressed about, what they're worrying about. So it doesn't just have to be a demographic niche. It also doesn't have to be forever. I like to say, you know, we're creating a PDF or a website or a sales page. We're not etching it into a stone tablet. If 6-8 months down the road you want to shift your focus, we can because luckily we can do that. So when it's time to niche down, remember, you can look at more than just the surface of who you're going after, but you can also change down the road. You can grow. You can shift. You can maneuver. And I think it's really important to just keep that in mind so it reduces some of the fear about niching down.
I hadn't even thought of that, but you're right. And I always tell people we need to be able to pivot. That's
mm-hmm.
the beauty of the Internet as it exists right now. When I first started,
oh, yeah.
it didn't. I mean, you
right.
we got to build our websites in HTML. You
uh-huh.
couldn't find a, you know, unless you found a mentor or a coach within driving distance, you were kind of without one. things right. have really changed. But and now, as we grow our message and we see what people are actually wanting and needing from us, we do need to be able to be agile and pivot. So I love that. So keep going.
Absolutely, yeah. So identifying who your message is for and getting their attention work together. And it's basically the first line of your copy, which is your headline. And I do like to share a scary little statistic that 80% of people who read your copy are not going to read past your headline. That is not always a bad thing. I'll get to that in a second. But if we can make our headline awesome, we'll capture more of those eyeballs. That's really the goal. And we don't necessarily need everybody to read our copy because not everybody is our customer, kind of bringing that full circle. So it's okay that a large portion of people are going to read our headline and say, nope, not for me, because then they've self-selected out of your prospect or customer pool. So I think that's really important to say, it's okay if you think that I'm not you're not my customer, because you're not. It's okay. And so what I do actually before I even start writing is I gather all my information. This is the not sexy part of copywriting, right? I do all the research. I have what I call pre-writing analysis, where I lay out everything about the customer, everything about the offer, everything about the story, everything about the product, just everything I need to know. And that way I don't have to stop and start and do research or figure everything out, because that's just not good time management. But so basically I start with a headline, and I have a little formula that I will share, is audience plus benefit plus time minus objection. Okay, so it's who you're talking to, what they get from it, how long it's going to take to get to the results, and a removal of a pain point. And I say 3 are required, 4 are awesome. So audience plus benefit plus time minus the objection. But really what you want to do is make a big promise that's going to get their attention fast. A big promise that's going to show them why they should continue reading. And I'm just thinking off the top of my head here, because, you know, as much as I know this material, I didn't necessarily prepare a headline already. But
I was
going to
ask you if you could give us an example of a headline.
Absolutely.
Because I'm sitting here going, there's got to be a way for me to figure this out. No, I'm just going to ask her for it.
So it's funny. Every time I present, I always default to talking about landscapers, and I have no idea why. I think I've written for one ever in my entire career. But let's say I'm a landscaper and I am promoting my weekly lawn maintenance service, okay? And I know that a really good portion of my customers are going to be maybe moms, right? Women in families tend to make those kind of buying decisions. So moms, right, they're probably busy. Okay, so it could be, hey moms, right, calling out my audience, finally get your lawn mowed this weekend without begging, pleading, cajoling, or bribing your kids. Right, audience, moms, benefit, get your lawn mowed, time, this weekend, and the objection is begging, pleading, bribing, or cajoling my kids. So, hey moms, let's get your lawn looking great this weekend without hassling your kids for it. That is the basis of a good headline. Now, is it perfect? No. Could it use some massaging? Yes. Could I maybe come up with one that's better if I tried a little harder and had more time and wasn't live on the spot? Likely. But it's a great start, and it's better than not having one.
It really is. I mean, I have a crew, but... and I won't mow. I tried it once. I live in a very hot, humid state.
Yep.
I threw up. I almost passed out. I threw up and hired somebody, and I don't mow. But if I needed somebody, I would instantly go, oh, now that
right?
makes sense. I can get it done. I don't have to throw up all over my feet, and I don't have to beg anybody in the family to, you know, raise their heads from whatever it is that they're paying attention to and
right.
help me out. That's excellent.
But now if I was promoting this in a very hot climate, I might use that, right? Get your lawn looking fresh without feeling like you're going to pass out from the heat. Let us do the hot and dirty work. You know,
excellent.
That would be more about knowing my audience, right? Knowing their exact pain point. That's where the research comes in. You've got to know the pain they're in, the big problem they have, right? A mom of a 15-year-old kid is going to have the problem of, yeah, I've got to hassle my kid to do it or maybe even bribe them, whereas someone who lives in the deep south would be, I'm not going outside, it's hot. It's hot. My curly hair is going to boing, boing, boing. I'm not dealing with that. You know, like understanding the audience is so important
right.
in everything you do.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so now that you've got their attention, what's the next step?
Now we're going to identify the problem. And I have a term for this. It's called poking the bruise. And if you'll indulge me for a moment, I will explain where that comes from. So a bruise, let's say you're Allison and you are very clumsy and you run into the corner of your very nice bed, and which I do almost every morning. And when it happens, it hurts, right? When you smack your knee on the corner of a bed, it hurts. But then, you know, a couple hours later, it doesn't really hurt anymore. You might look down at your knee and realize, oh, look, that did leave a little mark, but it doesn't bother you anymore. That is the way that your audience is handling the pain they're in. They have the pain, right? If I push on the bruise, if I bang it again, it hurts. But if I leave it alone, I don't really think about it anymore. That's the same thing. Let's say you're that landscaper. Your ideal client's not walking around 24/7 saying, my lawn looks terrible, I need to get it mowed, I don't want to mow it, I have to beg my kids. That's not the conversation that's running through their brain. It's just, this is a problem, and I'm going to live the rest of my life, you know, the rest of my day and not worry about it. When you poke the bruise, you intentionally re-agitate that pain. You intentionally say, hey, by the way, this hurts. Hey, by the way, this is a problem. Hey, by the way, you want to find a solution for this. By identifying and agitating that problem, you're now putting them in a place where they are looking for that solution. If I'm not looking for the solution and somebody throws something at my face, it's not as likely to stick as when they've got me in a mental state that I want that solution for myself. You following?
I am, and I have a quick off-the-cuff question.
Uh-huh.
I bruise easy, and I will often find bruises where I have no idea where they came from. It's
exactly.
not unusual. Although mm-hmm. the one where I hit my mantle with my shoulder...
Uh-huh.
You know, that mantle hasn't moved in the 15 years I've owned this house, but I still managed to clobber it.
Right?
I don't know how that happens. But my question is, you know, what if you have a bruise that you really don't remember how it got there, but in the back of your mind you're worried a bit about it? Is there something that
mm-hmm.
copywriters can say, okay, you know, you may not be thinking about this right just yet, but you're going to hit that bruise again?
Mm-hmm. And so this is future casting. And that's part of identifying the problem, right? And you're basically saying, like, hey, you have this bruise. What's going to happen if you hit it again, right? Or what will happen if this problem goes on unsolved? What are you doing that's not working? Right? You're not paying enough attention. You don't know how you got that bruise. That's not working. What does your future look like, right,
okay.
with this problem still in it? Well, that bruise, well, you know, it could be worse. Could get bigger. It could, you know, my husband had one of those. He had a bruise that he didn't know how he got it, and it got worse before it got better. And he had like this hematoma on his leg. It was a huge bruise. He's probably going to hate that I'm telling this story, but I don't care. It was huge, and it was kind of scary. But, you know, obviously with bruises on our skin, for most of us, they heal. But we also baby them a little bit. We take care of them, even if it's not consciously. I remember when my kid was little, I had a baby gate in my office so I could keep the door open, but he couldn't get in. And I was stepping over the baby gate and I misjudged the distance. Like you, that door frame hasn't moved since I moved into this house. And I still managed to hit my knee on it so hard it ripped my pants on a door. It was crazy. And I babied my knee for a long time because it really hurt. And then I kept an eye on it and made sure there was a little cut. I made sure it didn't get infected. So if that had just shown up, like, I still need to keep an eye on it. I still need to manage it. And it's not, it didn't take over my entire day, but there were little reminders throughout the day that it hurt. And that's what we're trying to create, are these little reminders, if you will, that they have this pain. Because it's not likely that they're going to be thinking, oh, I need XYZ, and then happen upon your marketing.
Exactly.
Right?
So that's part of the forecasting to, you know,
yeah,
just kind of figure out that if they don't need it now, they're going to need it. It's still going to be a problem. It does need to be addressed, and we
exactly.
can help you. Okay.
Yes.
I'm following.
And so you're also going to invite them to imagine when they don't have that problem. Okay? So imagine that your arm doesn't hurt. Or imagine that your lawn is beautiful and now all your neighbors are jealous and you got to sit in the shade sipping iced tea and reading a really good book on Kindle. Imagine how great your kids are going to feel.
You do know me.
Imagine
how, are you peeking over the fence?
How easy your Saturday is going to be when you didn't have to, you know, practically kick little Timmy out of the house to go do his weekly chore. Create a new world for them. And obviously I'm talking in terms of landscaping, but this works for everything. Weight loss coaching. Imagine feeling like you can walk into any store and buy a shirt that you know is going to fit. Or I wrote for tape once, literally tape, like the sticky stuff, and it was contractor tape. But, you know, imagine knowing you've got a product that's going to do what you need it to do when you need to do it so there's not a delay on your job. Like any situation, future casting and identifying the problem, hey, this thing sucks for you right now. Here's kind of why it sucks. Here's the I imagine, you know, this is probably the thing you're feeling. Imagine not having to feel that anymore. That's really what poking the bruise is all about.
And I never thought of that. I mean, it never occurred to me that there was an analogy for, you know, things that may not be top of mind. I mean, we're not going to sit around all day and go, you know what? My widget is perfect for everybody, but nobody's going to buy it, so I'm going to sit here and think about it 24/7. We don't operate that way.
Exactly.
Or, you know, my dog, you know, really needs to go to see her groomer because she smells bad. What can I do to maybe not make her smell bad between, you know, trips to the groomer? There's always something, but you don't notice it until you notice it.
You don't notice it until you notice it. That's right.
Right.
And, you know, and there's usually a trigger, right? Like maybe your dog, you don't realize your dog probably has the, you know, doggy smell. I'm a cat lady, so I don't know what the doggy smell is, but there's a doggy smell. And until maybe he or she comes in from outside and has been, you know, kind of hot and activating the doggy smell, or maybe you go to snuggle and you get a good whiff. You don't realize it until there's a trigger. And so what are those triggers? It's all about knowing that kind of level of your audience.
Interesting. So we've identified the problem. She does need to get the groomers, which I'm writing down, make an appointment.
Write it down. I'll remind you after the show.
Right. So now that we're identifying a problem, and listen, as solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, small business owners, it's never just one problem, is it?
No.
So do we keep a list? Do we keep a kind of running consciousness of what we're talking about? Hamilton? I'm sorry. My cat
is. It's okay.
He does not have an indoor voice. He's across the house and you can probably hear him. He's a problem. There's one of my problems right there. But so once you've identified the problem, do you recommend that people who say, okay, I need to put this into my subconscious for review because I spend a lot of time overloading my subconscious because that's where the real brilliance is as far as I'm concerned. But do people often make the mistake of saying, okay, it's a problem? It's really not, isn't it? You've got problem, solution. Ooh, now I've got new problems and new solutions. I mean, aren't you in reality opening up just this whole conversation with yourself once you start thinking about these things? Or should you be opening up a whole new conversation?
You should.
Because it's not a one and done.
It's not. And so it also depends on the particular service or product or what have you that you're offering. Some products solve one problem. I have an amazing product called a tub shroom, and it sits inside the drain of my tub, and it catches my hair because I have very long hair. And the problem that it solves is that once monthly gunk of hair clog coming out of the drain that I don't want to have to do anymore. It solves that one problem. So in the case of the tub shroom, that's the only thing they have to solve. That's the only thing they have to talk about. Stop having to pull hair out of your tub once a month, right? But in the case of, let's go back to weight loss coaching, there are a lot of things going on there, right? Maybe we've got to solve a diet problem. Maybe we've got to solve a confidence problem. Maybe we've got to solve this problem. And so understanding that, first of all, is how multifaceted is your product or service is the first step. But also think about what all of those problems together mean, right? If we're talking about weight loss coaching, I might struggle to find clothes that fit. Maybe I can't ride the roller coasters, or I'm afraid to sit in a chair. All these things that are the problems, the triggers, if you will, that kind of make me think maybe I need a solution, but they all boil down to me feeling kind of crappy about my weight. Or the lawn thing, right? Maybe I've got mosquitoes. Maybe I'm fighting to get my kids to do it. Maybe it's too hot and I'm going to get sick. Maybe I just want to have I'm tired of having the messy lawn on the street. All of those things are different kind of symptoms of the problem. Maybe that's what we need to talk about, is the symptom of the actual root of the problem. Does that make sense?
It really does, because what one headline may work for somebody really well, and it may leave me absolutely
mm-hmm.
cold. It may be a perfect
exactly.
headline, but it's mm-hmm. not going to get me. And I'll tell you one that doesn't get me. In fact, I will just say, okay, we're done here. Don't call me a goddess. Just don't.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I know for a while now that's been kind of been females
mm-hmm.
are using that term, and I'm like, really? Just it just makes me gag a bit.
Well, but you're not
just
their customer.
So you know.
Right.
No,
you're not their customer.
No, not even
and so
close.
It's okay that they're using that word. And this goes
yeah.
back to that
80%
thing.
The person.
You're not
right.
the right person for them. Because if they didn't include that, but their program was full of that, you would hate having purchased it.
Right.
You're
right.
not their customer. So instead of feeling about it, thank them for letting you self-select out of their prospect
mm-hmm.
pool.
Yeah, and I do. I just get on out.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to do now is when I see some of these headlines, it just make me go really. And look, I'm really good at eye rolling. I almost have a degree in it. I'm close. Here's the rule. If you send me your newsletter, if you add my personal email address to your newsletter, you're going to hear from me. I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Yahoo account. It's my junk account. All the newsletters that I added
mm-hmm.
myself to or were added, somebody added me to, I go and visit those about once a week, and I go look at all the headlines.
Oh, yeah.
But anything with, goddess, or there's a couple other words that just make me go, bleh, and I just go ahead and self-select out of those.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm going to do now that we're talking? I'm going to actually look at those headlines and see if there is anything else in there that might attract my attention, and try to avoid that one word that just makes me go, oh, come on, you're not. and just see how they're doing with those, because
mm-hmm.
that will be a good lesson for me.
Absolutely.
Look at the headline, dissect it, is there anything for me, and then say, no, just, release me
right.
from your thrall. I'm not interested.
That's right. That's right.
Interesting. Okay, keep on going.
Okay. So before we talk about step three, I want to bring up something. We haven't talked about ourselves yet in this copy so far. We haven't said, hi, my name is. Hi, this is what I have. Hi, this is all about me. It's really important to talk about your customer first. They want to hear about themselves before they hear about you. And I just wanted to kind of bring that up as an aside, and then we can go into step three, which is show them the way out. Right? So we've
You're
put
correct.
Them in this.
Right.
We've
a web
put
copy
them
same
in
way.
Exactly.
It's not about
yeah.
you. It's not about your. I have a computer science degree. Nobody cares. I'm
right.
the only one because I had to pay for
oh,
it.
Oh, thank you.
Nobody
cares.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
But now that we're showing them the way out, this is our opportunity to toot our own horn. This is where we get to introduce our solution, show them how we can solve the problem that we've just spent all that time poking at, and we can tell them how what we've got for them is the best option for them. This is where we can begin to outline our offer, essentially. You know, we talk about the cost that we've undertaken to develop, right? So in my case, I would say, you know, this is 13 years of experience working for you here. How much blood, sweat, and tears went into making it as great as it is. Any awards or accolades or, you know, hey, I used to work for Dan Kennedy type name dropping you can do. how easy it is, how fast you can see results, anything that really sets you apart from the other options in that, you know, solve the same problem as you, this is the opportunity for you to do it. I also think, you know, I also want you to outline exactly what they get, what it means for them, not just features and benefits is something I could talk about for a while, but we want to just really say, like, okay, you get me showing up at your house every week, on the same day every week, and this is why that matters to you. So you know, it's
oh.
on a schedule. You know what I mean? Like, here's what you
right,
get,
right.
and here's why you care.
Okay.
Right? You get a really great roll of tape that's going to do exactly what I said it's going to do, and you care because your job cost depends on it. That kind of, you want to connect the dots for them there. And you can also
but that's
use testimonials
feature, isn't it? That's feature and benefit.
What? The tape that does what it says it's going to do?
Yeah.
Because your job
yeah.
costs. Yeah. To help you. You care because you know that if you don't have to spend
oh, okay.
more time. Sorry, I was shortening. If you don't have to spend more time ripping up tape that's supposed to be removable but isn't, then you can get to the next job quicker and make more money. You know what I mean? Like you. Show them
okay.
why
so,
that's important for them. Yep.
Right, right. You're laying out the benefits of having it, but you're also expanding a bit. So maybe
mm-hmm.
something
mm-hmm.
that may not have been, forecasting again, may not have been in their head, but they're like, oh, yeah. You know,
exactly.
it took me an extra 30 minutes to get the gunk off the wall, and I was late for my next appointment.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm following.
Yep. And this is also where you can talk about, use testimonials, customer stories, things like that. Case studies. I always use, there's kind of a little epidemic of fake testimonials out there, but I always use real ones. I've had clients ask me to make up testimonials and I won't. I don't think that's right. And so what you want to do is have a specific testimonial that's, especially when you're pointing out these benefits that we just talked about. If I had that copy there about the tape, right, it pulls up when I need it to. How amazing would it be if Joe Smith from ABC Contracting had sent me a note that said, hey, Allison, I just wanted to let you know this tape pulled up clean even when I didn't think it had a chance to. Thanks. Or, you know, something like that, right, specific and related to the copy that you're already doing. Simply because it shows that you're not just making things up, and it reinforces the idea in your customer's head. So I just wanted to have a little note
nice.
About testimonials.
So cause and effect.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So then we have gotten their attention. We've poked the bruise. We've tooted our own horn. We've done all that. Now it's time to actually tell them how to get the offer. And one of the big things that I see is people wuss out. They're afraid to build up their value. They're afraid to ask for that sale. They spend all of this time saying, this is my awesome landscaping service. This is my great tape. This is my perfect weight loss program. And if you want, you can buy it maybe, if you think about it. Go ahead. Right?
Yeah, I see that all the time.
Yeah.
Without the ask,
you
just
wasted
crazy? Everybody's time. Yep.
And
you have to ask.
And more than just the ask, I really want you to specifically give them instructions on what to do next. If you want to get this tape, click below the big red button, fill out your credit card information, and it'll be sent to you in 3 days. Give them specific instructions and tell them what to expect. The reason
well,
we
that
do
makes
this...
Sense. And I'm going to jump in and tell you why the reason you do that. You know, from my own experience, and then you can say, well, yeah, that's good, Denise, but wrong. Or, no, hey, you are so smart. I choose the latter, by the way. So many people are, you know, it's what we think is easy, and I catch myself doing this, and I have to go back and correct it when I'm building a web development or a site or repairing one. Because we know what we know, we think everybody else does too, and they don't. And I will often tell my clients, you have to keep it Homer Simpson simple. You have to. You're writing for six-year-olds practically, or sixth graders. You have to make sure they know step by step by step what to do, or they'll just go, I'm going to go make popcorn, and they don't come back.
You must
so
be in my
I
brain.
Am I close to right?
So I say that we are selling to Homer Simpson.
I'm telling you, we're sisters. We didn't even know it.
We just have to hang out. Let me dive into that a little bit more. And it doesn't matter how educated, sophisticated, cultured, worldly, smart, whatever your audience is. Everybody has days where they just have the mental capacity of Homer Simpson. You could be really tired. You could have had a bad day, whatever. You just do not have mental capacity, mental energy, or the desire to care about anything that's too complicated. And so by giving crystal clear step-by-step instructions and expectations, you're removing that mental burden from your client. You're allowing them to make a decision where they don't have to do that mental work. But yeah, you nailed it. You're so smart.
Well, thank you. I've been doing this for a long time, and honestly, the biggest thing that I find is how we get in our own way is because we think because we know it, everybody else does. They don't. Just assume they don't. They don't know to click that button. One of my clients is probably one of the smartest people I've ever met. Technology just boggles him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just, and he'll say, Denise, how do I do this? And my first instinct is to go, really? And my second instinct is to go, that's interesting. And then I write it down because I'm going to need to address it with other people. It doesn't matter how brilliant this guy is, and trust me, he is. Technology just wears him out. It's not in his wheelhouse. And I need to get very specific with him. So when I tell him, I give him his orders, as he says, okay, boss, give me my orders. I like this guy. But I know now not to just shoot him a quick email and say, okay, well, go do this, and he's just like, So I almost write, bullet points for him, and he gets them. So you have to know your audience, don't you? And you have to know how to get them to take the steps, whether it's an email, a client, or it's a sales copy. You're right. They do need to have those bullet points or those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
instructions.
Exactly. Just because we know it, I'm telling you, they don't. Some of them do. Some of them don't.
You know, and I know there's a name for it. It is a phenomenon where we think that the knowledge we have is generalized, is just knowledge everybody has. I'm on Reddit, and I'm in a subreddit for composting. I love compost. I'm a big garden nerd. And somebody posted a picture that they saw of somebody with a compost bin that had plastic in it and uncrushed eggshells and this, that. And everybody was like, oh, my gosh, how could they not know? And it was like, because they don't know, right? And for people who don't compost, you can't compost plastic and you have to crush up your eggshells. But I know that because I I've done the work. I've done the research. I know it. But to somebody brand new to it, they don't know. They just think, oh,
no,
I'm going to throw this in here.
No, and, you know, your job
have no
is
reason
to teach
to.
Them.
Right. Exactly. But,
you know, we all have brains. Some days they're full of mush. Some hours,
exactly.
Maybe it's just a few minutes. And other days you are so on point that you're like, oh, geez, I meant some material. Okay, what
right?
did I just open this refrigerator door for? I call that open refrigerator door syndrome. That's where I go meditate, because the minute I open those French doors, my brain just goes zip, and it's gone. It's just
yeah.
Gone.
You have. I call it my mojo. Some days I have my mojo. Some days I don't have my mojo.
Exactly, and it goes with me sometimes minute to minute, mm-hmm. hour to hour. I can be, you know, a brain full of mush and then brilliant all in the same hour. So,
exactly.
I don't
worry
about it anymore. But yeah, this is brilliant. So don't let me interrupt you. Keep on talking.
You're good. So yeah, when you make your offer, you clearly lay out what they're going to get. You're going to clearly lay out how to get it, what they can expect. Make it clear. Make it concise, right? You're going to get one of my expert landscape masters to come to your house every Tuesday in the afternoon, and he or she is going to XYZ, and all you have to do to grab that is click this button and sign up for the recurring payment plan. We'll charge you Tuesday at 5 o'clock every week. Like, you tell them exactly what to expect. Attach a value to it. Remind them how valuable it is. But then we're going to move into step 5, which is don't let them walk away without their solution. So we've asked for the sale. Now it's time to close it. And I like to bring up that people will make buying decisions emotionally, using their emotions. They justify it with the logic, but the buying decision itself is made emotionally. And so we play on that after we make our offer, which is very logical, to play on their emotions. All of that pain we agitated earlier, all of that future casting that we did, where we showed them what their future is going to look like with and without their solution, we kind of summarize it again here at the end, right? So, hey, buy my lawn landscaping service, and finally stop begging your kids. Finally be able to sip iced tea in the shade. Finally catch up on that Kindle book that you want. Right? We bring all of those emotional points back in so that they're emotionally pushed to take action now. If you wuss out and think they'll get it if they really want it, they won't. They won't unless you remind them why it's just simply the best choice they can make right now.
And, Allison, isn't this where when people do wimp out, and I've seen it time and time again, I used to be guilty of it myself. Because, you know, particularly as women, we were, you know, told don't toot your own horn. You know, use a little bit of humbleness. Humble is good within reason and, you know, in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to say, hey, now, yeah, I get it that, you know, right now, let me just switch off to a different kind of company from landscaping, although I do work with landscapers. Now, I love, one of my favorite websites is for a landscaping company in New York, and
mm-hmm.
they are massively award-winning. When I first started
awesome.
With them, they were just cutting grass. Now they're winning awards
mm-hmm.
left, right,
that's
center
awesome.
For landscaping. I have loved watching them grow and being a part of it. But right now, you know, I live in the Deep South. We have a lot of storms. We had a couple of pretty major storms come, not hurricanes, but big storms that came through about a year ago. And trying to get a roof on your house, a new
mm-hmm.
roof, has been impossible. The roofers are just now coming
mm-hmm.
up for air. So in the last couple of weeks, I mean, I actually had to go ahead and reschedule, I think, 2 Fridays ago, because there were two roofs going on in my neighborhood, one next door.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot be on the phone with that.
No.
But I've been watching them, and the one next door, I mean, these guys were in straight up 8 o'clock they started.
Oh, yeah.
By 2:30, they were done. The one across mm-hmm. the street, 3.5 days.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's a big difference
mm-hmm.
in the expectations that these two homeowners
yes.
experienced.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a bit about that. So if you say you're going to be in, you've got 2 or 3 crews working your roof, And they're not going to leave a nail or a screw behind, and they didn't. The place was immaculate.
Right.
And it's a good-looking roof. I'm going to hire the same company because I'm next in the rotation. I need a roof, too. But I very closely watched this poor guy across the house, you know, the house that's on the corner away from me, 3.5 days, and they finally finished up on a Saturday. Mm. I don't think his expectations were met. And
no.
I don't know how happy or unhappy he is right now. I suspect not very.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens in contracting a lot.
But who didn't manage the expectations? Is it for the both of them that are a little bit, you know, at blame here? Like, if you tell me you're going to have my house done today, I'm going to expect that my house is done today. Don't come back on Saturday.
Well, and that's so in your marketing. So, you know, we're kind of going into we're going into the customer service and the actual fulfillment territory, not just the front end marketing, although fulfillment and customer service are a part of marketing, right? But if that person had been told in the sales copy or throughout his sales process, his sales cycle, hey, it's going to take 3 to 4 days, then he wouldn't have been upset. If that person had been told it'll be done by X date and it was delayed, he would be upset. I have a story like that. I had an addition put on my house last year. I was told during my sales time that we would be shooting for a July 4th completion date, but, you know, probably end of July if we're building in for any delays. My room was finished at the end of August. Or September. No, mid-September. I apologize. I was not happy. Right? So, but had they told me up front, hey, we're looking at September, October, fine, we're on schedule. And that's part of telling me what to expect, managing expectations, marketing with integrity, following through, all of those things. But yeah, if you just tell me what to expect and set it up for me, I'm good. And when it's time to close me, you tell me why this expectation is the right expectation to have.
Right, right. But here's where my mind went while we're talking about these things, because you write this wonderful copy, you've got money coming in, you've got sales, clients, consumers, whatever it is that you're after, they're coming in, but you manage their expectations. Your copy was brilliant. Obviously, it was working. But you managed their expectations very poorly. Now you've got a bunch of, you know, really bad reviews on Google and Yelp. Now what do? You know, your copy got you here, but you dropped the ball. So is there, what do they do? I mean, do they write new copy and say, okay, we kind of messed that one up, but, you know, what do they do? Because copy can help you. It can save you. It can also ruin you if you didn't manage your expectations. That's just my view.
Absolutely.
Because if you promised the moon and you gave them, you know, the top half of the fence, they can't even see over the fence, can't see the moon, can't see anything. I don't know. What do you do?
Well, and so assuming that actual changes were made, so let's say this roofer, right, this three and a half day roofer, he recognizes that the issues were there, and he's taken X, Y, and Z steps to prevent that from happening again, then that now makes it into the copy, right? We promise to have it done in a day, and here's how we're going to make sure that happens. Dedicated project manager, 3 teams for every project, whatever.
Oh,
right?
So you can repair it if you understand it. And don't just ignore it. So
you have to understand it, make a change, and update.
Right. Well, I felt so bad for this guy. I felt bad for the contractor because he started out with 2 or 3 people. Then the next day it was just 2 people. Then the third day it was just him. And the fourth, actually it was a half day, it was still just him. And I felt bad for the guy. But he couldn't stop until it was done.
Right.
And I remember putting on Facebook, I don't know how this can possibly be a profitable job for him. It couldn't have been.
Right. Yeah.
And he probably lost, you know, I mean, I won't hire him. I mean, right. with all the goodwill, and he finished it. He worked his butt off. He worked until dark mm-hmm. one night. I still wouldn't hire him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad.
Well, and that is what happens when you don't meet the expectations that you set forward. And so it is really important when you're writing your copy to, can I fulfill this promise? Is this something
okay.
I can do?
Let's talk about that, because I think
yeah.
that, and, you know, you have been in marketing a long time. I have been in marketing a long time. We've seen some big names just lose it because
oh,
they
yeah.
way overpromise. And one of the things mm-hmm. that some of the very early marketers would, they would go ahead and say, we're going to launch this. We're not going to build it. We finally figured out that's what they were doing. But they launched it, and they didn't build it until they had the money.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. People have good spidey sense about that stuff. They're like, no, give me my money back.
Well, you know, I do have, actually, she's running it now. I have a very good friend that built the outline and some of the assets for a course, but didn't actually build the step-by-step until she had the group started. And what that's done is, A, allowed her to launch faster. So I am a proponent of that if you need to launch faster. But B, she's actually building it more to the specifications of the actual people. So it does give you some insight into the people that are buying, and you can tailor it a little bit better. That being said, she's following through with what she's promising,
and
she's not late.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
There was no
definitely.
Follow through, or it was late.
Yeah, I mean, when I purchased the edition, you know, I was promised a lot of things. I had that upfront conversation about communication. Like, I just need to know what to expect. I think I even said that like 12 times. I just need to know what to expect. And then we started running into hiccups. The siding, I got two sides of my house done, the back and the side where the addition was, because it wasn't in the budget to do the other sides. That siding took 2 weeks.
Hysterical in a quiet kind of way, but very upset.
I was very upset. And we couldn't do anything else until the siding was done. And, you know, I was all the time like, what's going on? I'm getting nothing, and there's no feedback and no managing expectations, right? Like, it was just, that was not the right way to handle it. Now, because of that, I'm less likely to refer. I'm more likely to look for somebody else for other projects. Like, there are real consequences to that kind of follow-through. If this company was to come back to me and say, hey, you know, this is the problem that we've seen. Here's how we've put steps in to resolve it. Here's the difference in how things are going to be implemented. Would I give them another chance? Probably not this particular case, because it was a big deal, but in a smaller situation, yes, I might be more likely to give them another chance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do. That makes a lot of sense to me. So what I'm getting from this, Allison, is that we've been talking a lot about copy, the steps that we need to identify what our people need.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the overreaching comment that I have here, or what we've been talking about, is managing those expectations. If you're writing fantastic copy and you cannot follow through, you may want to wait a bit until you have everything in place.
Or
most
pull back
of it
what
in
you're
place
promising.
At that.
Yep. Or pull
yeah,
back what you're
exactly.
promising. Absolutely. I've written webinar copy for people, and I make up the bullets. And then when we have our, you know, check-in call after I deliver, I say, I want to go through these bullets and make sure you can deliver on what, like, I want to hear what you can teach that'll fulfill each of these bullets. That's really important. That I'm holding a workshop later today, and when we were building it, we were like, okay, here's the bullet, here's how we're going to fulfill it. Here's the bullet, here's how we're going to fulfill it. Like, don't make a promise that you can't deliver on. It sounds really fun and sexy to say I can give you the world, but then when you don't, that's not good. So let's find, I mean, I've had to make tape sexy, and jars. I made jars sexy. We can make it work with your copy. We can make it sound awesome without making promises we can't fulfill.
So let me ask you this, and we're just about out of time, but I'm so fascinated
uh-huh.
by this. So basically, once you've got this copy written and you're ready to go, and then you do your due diligence with your client and you go through those bullet points, do you often have to go, okay, we're not quite here in your promise, let's write this, you know, let's back this out of the copy
for now.
Okay,
yeah, we'll just back it out.
We'll
change it. Well, you know, they might say, yeah, I don't know what I would teach for that. Okay, what else can you teach? Let's write a bullet for that. Like, absolutely. Yeah, we back it out.
Brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. So at the top of, I am so impressed. So at the top of this, when you're talking about, you really consult with your people,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you guide them. You're serious about this. You don't just say, okay, I can write this. Here you go. Good luck and God bless, which is one of my big gripes. You know, I don't ever turn my clients off, you know, when we're done. And when that final payment is made, I don't say good luck and God bless. My clients tend to stick with me for decades. I mean, they're here for the long run.
Now, I've got some clients that have larger teams. They've been doing this longer. They really just need the extra set of hands. Yeah, I hand it off to them and say good luck because that's the way they want it. And I know that they have the support from a team or a coach. But if you know, yeah, no, implementation help, instructions, like let's make sure this looks right. Yeah. It's a big deal.
Excellent. Listen, where can people find you on the web?
My home on the web is alisonlex.com, and that's alisonlex.com.
Is there anything else
you want
to share? Oh, great. Is there anything else you want to share before I cut you loose?
So actually I have a free download of it's called the sales page that practically writes itself. It takes this formula, expands on it, and helps you create it in a way that's super accessible so you don't have to feel all this nervousness and panic when it comes time to write your sales copy. And that's at alisonlex.com/write-itself.
I am heading there. Alison, it has been wonderful speaking with you. I thank you so much for the wonderful tips and advice and just the fun conversation
Absolutely. That
you have shared with me and with our audience. And before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us on iTunes and really anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for your Partner in Success Radio and be sure to take us along on your success journey. Alison, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.